Hello, everyone. I'm John Melke. Welcome to a very special edition of Parkside Today. Last October, at the UW System Board of Regents meeting, held right here at UW Parkside, four of UW Parkside's best and brightest STEM field students spoke to the board about their experiences as women in science. Today, we'll hear from each one of those students and learn more about their experiences and their achievements. Chloe Calderon is a 19-year-old senior physics major, and she will be introduced by UW Parkside Professor of Physics, Dr. Paul Mahazabi. Following Chloe, UW Parkside Professor of Biology, Dr. Tracy Lee, will introduce Bianca Ruffalo, a molecular biology and bioinformatics major. Chemistry Professor Dr. Daryl Sauer will introduce us to biology major and entrepreneur, Cassie Venhoff. But first, we'll meet Selena Cervantes, a psychology and computer science major who built her own 3D printer and with that printer built her own drone. UW Parkside Professor of Psychology Dr. Sylvia Beyer tells us more about Selena.
I'm Sylvia Beyer, a professor of psychology, and I'm here to introduce Selena Cervantes. Unlike the other faculty members here who are introducing their students, Selena and I have not worked on research together, so I was surprised that I was invited to actually introduce her. And I asked, so what is the reason? And I was told, oh, Selena kept mentioning you as someone who had encouraged her to go into computer science. And I said, oh, really? She didn't tell me that. So I guess what happened is she took a whole lot of psychology classes with me, and among them, psychology of gender, where I talked about, among other things, my research about women in computer science. And she would approach me after class and talk about her passion for computer science, but how her family really did not encourage her. In fact, they tried to dissuade her that it was inappropriate for a woman to be going into computer science. So I had several conversations with her, and I said, if this is your passion, if you think you're good at it, you go for it. Don't let anybody discourage you. And then I guess what happens is she took that to heart. And what made me very happy is that not only did she declare computer science as a major, but she kept her psychology major as well. So she's now a double major. And she has done incredible, wonderful, cool things that she will tell you about now.
Hi, my name is Selena Cervantes. I'm a student here at Parkside. I'm expected to graduate in spring of 2020 with a Bachelor's of Science in Computer Science and a Bachelor's of Science in Psychology. I also plan to get my certificates in Neuroscience, Unix, Human Measurement and Research, Leadership, and Cybersecurity. My interest in psychology originally started in my childhood. I would constantly ask why as a kid, and during high school, I sort of narrowed it down toward neuroscience. I was really interested in that and research. Computer science didn't really come until end of high school, where I had a general interest in it, and it didn't sprout until college. And it kind of took action in college when Dr. Beyer actually did a study in 1999 about the traits of women in different fields. And in psychology, I had some of them, but in computer science, I found that I had almost all of them. I just kind of checked off the boxes. And from there, I decided, well, I think I'm going to go for computer science, and I ended up going for both. My current involvement in UW Parkside here is an iOS developer at the App Factory here, a WISIS ambassador. I do TA for CS105, and I'm currently a lab assistant for the 3D printer makerspace course. I really like to be involved in my community. I think that's a very important thing. Hopefully in the future, I will go to graduate school, and I hope to have a career in machine learning or AI. That is where I would like to go in life. Current project opportunities at Parkside. For me, I have four main projects. One of the first project opportunities I had at UW Parkside was the 3D printed drone. Originally, I had taken a 3D printed course, the one that I'm currently a lab assistant for, and had to 3D print something. I had currently built a 3D printer before, It was, I had one at my home, so I was able to use that one instead of the one at school, meaning that I didn't have to sit there for hours while it printed. But I had wanted a drone originally, but I'm a college student, so I don't want to pay $500 for a drone. Instead, I printed one, and that was a very exciting process and a journey. It was featured in the Journal Times, and it was featured on WISN ABC News, which is pretty cool because we got a bit of publicity and we got to show people that, you know, there are also women in computer science, and, you know, I really like to show people that they can also build whatever they like, and you know, even if they don't think they can do it. One of the biggest lessons I've learned through the building process of the drone was that you are never going to do it the first time. The first time I actually flew the drone, it was in my living room, and it went up about 3 feet, and then it completely turned around, and it cut all of the wires, meaning that I had to start over. But knowing that you're not going to do it the first time is okay, because it's a learning process, and the second time it was easier around because I knew what I was doing. The second project opportunity is the suspended 3D printer. The suspended 3D printer is a 3D printer that uses filament, but it is suspended and does not have an encasing. So it can theoretically, if you suspend it from each corner of the room, print something the size of the room, which is really cool. And it gives you unlimited options of what you can print, how big it can be, and things like that. I originally proposed this idea, and it was funded by the school, and we are currently in the process of making it in our app factory here, and that's super exciting. The third project is my biggest project, and I am really excited about it. It is, I will tell you a little bit about it later. It's called App Factory 2.0, and it is encompassing kind of computer science and other sectors coming in one. The last one would be, it is not currently a UW Parkside project. I do this on my own, but I'm inclined to include this one because I find that UW Parkside gives me the courage to go and try things that are a bit out of my reach. And that is the solar panel battery backup system. This isn't a spare time project. My inspiration comes from Tesla battery backup systems. They cost a lot more than the drone does, so I'm going to try and build that as well. And I plan to use recycled lithium batteries for that and eventually hook it up to a solar panel. So there will be two kind of separate projects there combined into one. App Factory 2.0 is the most exciting project, I think, that is currently being worked on in our area of computer science projects. So our goal is to create an innovative, productive, and inviting work environment for women. So the App Factory, who are we? We're a group of students and faculty that are working together to build apps for real companies. And our apps are things like the Frank Lloyd Wright Trail, the Kenosha Farmers Market, and the Kenosha Racine Transit app. With our goal to be more women-friendly in the App Factory, one of the things that I like to do is kind of incorporate my other side, that being psychology. And Dr. Beyer actually referenced this, saying, computing whether she belongs, stereotypes undermine girls' interest and sense of belonging in computer science. So this study shows that the physical conditions of a room do affect a sense of belonging, and we can use this research to redesign the App Factory in a way that will really encompass being a woman-friendly space, and that not just men or not just women or not just this type of person can come in, but everyone can kind of be included in the App Factory. And I think that that will be a really good encompassment of what UW Parkside believes as well. The current App Factory, it, to me personally, sort of looks like a man cave, and as lovely as it is, and as much as it looks like a startup, I think that we can make this better. I think that we can really make this more inviting. So here I've made a 3D render of what I think the App Factory could be, and I think it's a beautiful space. I think we have a lot of resources, and I think a lot of people are supporting this, especially the ones in the UW Parkside community. This is what I think it could look like. We have a big conference table to include everybody. It's very open, it's very friendly, it's very organic, which I like because we already have a lot of park around us, and kind of bringing that in and having a bit of refreshment, I think, would be really, really nice. A note, to any women that would like to go into the sciences and they're just not sure, I would say do it and go out of your comfort zone. I think going out of your comfort zone is the most important thing we can do for ourselves. It's how we grow, and getting comfortable with being out of your comfort zone will take you further than you could imagine.
Good morning. My name is Paul Mohasby, and I'm a physics faculty at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. Today, it's an honor for me to introduce a truly exceptional student to you, Chloe Calderon. I say that she's truly exceptional not just because she has a 4.0 GPA, but because she has an extremely unusual mind. She is natural in physics and mathematics, and she is only 19, and she has already published two research papers with me, one in classical mechanics and the other one in condensed matter physics on regelation of ice. And she's already working on two other research projects. One is in electrodynamics, basically to eliminate magnetic field in a moving coordinate system. And the second one is a computational research in which she's going to look at the frequency of ternary collision in non-ideal gases, which is really a physical chemistry project and the chemical reaction rate theory that she's going to look into. By the time she graduates at the end of this semester, again, she's going to be 19 years old with four publications in four completely different areas of theoretical physics. That is truly exceptional. And all I can say is that I'm proud of her. And she is a world-class physicist in the making, and I'm sure that we are all going to be proud of her in a few years when she gets her PhD and becomes a professor of physics. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Chloe Calderon, and I am a senior here at UW Parkside and also a physics major. Just a little bit about how I came to be in science is I was born to my father, who was a poor sailor, and my mom, who was a Vietnamese immigrant. And when my parents first met, my dad encouraged my mother to finish college. And it was my mom's dream to stay at home and to homeschool my siblings and I. And so my dad worked really hard to support my family in order that my mom could fulfill her dream. Being homeschooled, I learned an incredible work ethic and a love for learning. And it was by my strict and loving parents who pushed me to reach my potential that made it possible for me to start college at 15 years old. At 17, not 2 years later, I finished an associate's in biology, but I wasn't quite sure if this was the route that I wanted to go. The field of biology was very interesting to me, but I knew that it wasn't quite right for me, and so I searched around. I took a calculus-based physics course with Dr. Mohasby here at UW Parkside, and I fell in love with the subject. So then I switched my major after lots of prayer, consideration, and advisement from my now advisor, Dr. Mohasby, and my current advisor, Dr. Sauer. Now that I've switched to physics, it seems like I should have always been here. I have a genetic predisposition from my mother to love math, and my father has always loved science and learning how the world works, and I suppose that's where I get my curiosity from. Here at Parkside, I've had incredible opportunities. To begin, I had a research project, my first research project, actually, with Dr. Sauer on electrochemistry. And in this research, the applications were in water purification and pharmaceutical manufacturing, and making these two processes more environmentally friendly, in other words, just finding another way to do something that we're already doing. Next, I did mathematics research with Dr. Abragamov on diffusers. I learned how differential equations can be applied to many physical phenomena that we see day by day. This past summer, I worked with Dr. Mohasby, my advisor, on two research projects. We completed both of them, one in classical mechanics on projectile motion, and a second on ice regelation. We published papers on both of these in the Journal of Applied Mathematics and Physics. Now we're working on two new research projects that I'm very excited about. Also here at Parkside, I've had the incredible opportunity to sit on a student panel for the GEMS conference, which stands for Girls Empowered by Math and Science. On this panel, I encourage young girls to enter the STEM field. It was an incredible opportunity to interact with the next generation of female scientists. As I've gone through my school career, I've had some obstacles. Starting college at 15 is no easy feat. With my family and my friends and my God, I have overcome these obstacles. I was asked today to share some advice that I would have for a young person entering college or entering the scientific field. And my advice to them would be, go for it. Anything is possible. The only limitations you have are the ones that you set for yourself. And in my experience, I found that hard work trumps smarts. I have a dream for this world. It's a lofty dream, but it's one that I aspire to and that I hope to be an integral part of the realization of. It was described similarly in Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech. And I quote, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I would like to take the liberty to extend this statement to include, I have a dream that people will be judged by the content of their character, merits, accomplishments, and diligence, and not on their gender, race, or ethnicity. Thank you for listening today. It's been an honor of mine to speak to you.
Selena Cervantes and Chloe Calderon, two amazing women in science here at UW Parkside. In a moment, we'll meet and hear from Bianca Ruffalo and Cassie Van Hoff. Before we do that, I'll mention a number of opportunities for prospective students and their families to learn more about UW Parkside during information events hosted by the UW Parkside Admissions Office. Ranger Saturdays will be held in February, March, April, and May. Ranger Saturdays include presentations on academics, campus life, and more. Friday, April 12, is the Spring Semester Experience Parkside Day, our premier visit experience, including student panels, an information fair, academic session, and student-led campus tours. Prospective students must pre-register for these events, and you can find out more at uwp.edu/visit. Now let's hear more about women in science at UW Parkside and meet Cassie Van Hoff and Bianca Ruffalo.
It is my pleasure this afternoon to introduce Cassie Van Hoff. As I mentioned at the Board of Regents meeting, if I was doing this a year and a half ago, my introduction would have been Cassie is a student in my organic chemistry class. However, since then, things have changed dramatically. Now it is my pleasure to introduce Cassie Van Hoff, who is a full-time pre-vet student here at UW Parkside. She's employed as a veterinary assistant. She is also a winner of the University of Wisconsin Parkside Big Idea Innovation Competition. She's the first University of Wisconsin Parkside student to be invited to the statewide WISIS Big Idea Innovation Competition. She's also founder and CEO of Afoxin, which is her veterinary care products company. And she is also an inventor, having filed a patent for her invention, which involves relaxation of various animals, such as felines, when they are being taken to the vet and around the house and situations like that. So with that, I would like to introduce Cassie.
A little background on me. I've always wanted to practice medicine, aside from a little stint of wanting to be an actress in first grade. When I was 8, I wanted to be a pediatric surgeon, and then that changed to OBGYN, and then an internal medicine doctor. In high school, I decided on veterinary medicine and went to college my freshman year for nursing. Then I transferred back here for biological sciences, and I did actually just apply to vet school last month. So it's been kind of all over the place, but it's always been science. It's just fascinating to me, and it's just part of who I am at this time. The reason that I chose UW Parkside is because I felt it was really important to be in an environment where I wasn't just a number. I did actually get into UW Madison, and I love that town and I love the Badgers, but I really didn't feel like it was best for me academically at the time. The amazing thing about Parkside is that I can walk down the hall and a professor that I had four semesters ago will refer to me by name and say hi. In all of my science classes, every single one, my professors have announced to the class what their research is and invite the students to come work in their lab with them. I know if I wanted to work on fish fins, I could work with Dr. Taft, and if I wanted to work with plants, I could go see Dr. Rogers, and if for whatever reason I wanted to work with bugs, I could go see Dr. Orlovsky. I'm very fortunate that I get to work with Dr. Sauer, one of our chemistry professors, on my research. My research started in my sophomore year when I was in Dr. Sauer's organic chemistry class. He spoke to the class about the Big Idea competition that WISIS holds each year, and I remember sitting in class completely ignoring the rest of the lecture and just writing down different ideas that I had. What I settled on was an all-natural product called Perfect Pale that reduces feline aggression and anxiety. It's a solution that is water-based and comprised of plants and fruits and a natural preservative. And when I realized I was going to be doing this all-natural plant-fruit situation, I knew I was going to need somebody who knew what they were doing with chemistry. So I went to Dr. Sauer, and he's really helped with the chemistry part, which is necessary because, again, biology major. Amazingly, I've learned how to do efficacy testing and shelf life testing for my product using liquid chromatography and mass spec. My favorite test, though, is called the I discovered this on accident test. There's been 11 prototypes of my product, Perfect Pale, and originally I was distilling into a plastic gallon jug, and then I ran out of those, so I used an old methanol bottle that I found in the lab that's made of glass, and I noted that mold grew in the solution that was stored in plastic, but not in the glass one. So now Perfect Pale is produced into glass bottles. Not only did I have to learn a lot of chemistry, more than I ever planned to, but I also had to learn pretty much everything about business. Luckily, UW Parkside has their very own small business development center, and they not only helped me with every step of the way preparing for the Big Idea competition, but they've also helped me continue to build my business with any questions I have, which is a lot of questions. Weiss's has also been extremely helpful as far as any business questions I have and also in patenting my product. Even the other Big Idea competition winner and the students that I work with in Dr. Sauer's lab have been extremely helpful. There's definitely a very large support system here at Parkside that's been very helpful to me. I'm very fortunate that I personally have not felt discriminated against here at UW Parkside just because I'm a woman. Dr. Sauer probably had no interest in cat anxiety, but as soon as I walked into his office and asked for help, he was like, yes, absolutely, let's do this. And when I introduce myself to new professors now, they're like, oh, you're the cat girl. You do the cat stuff. And I'm like, yep, that's me. And like I mentioned before, I've taken several classes here at UW Parkside with female biologists who are very strong and outspoken women, and I work in a veterinary hospital. Our company has nearly 200 employees, and I would estimate a good 70% of our doctors are female, and all but like 5 of our technicians are female. I've been surrounded by strong, confident female scientists for the past couple of years, but that's not to say, of course, that there are not still struggles for women in science. Although biology has been diluted in the past couple years with women, fields like chemistry and physics are still very much male-dominated. One sad truth that I've noted on the Parkside campus is that there are girls who don't get to hang out and go to extra seminars or hang back in the library to study, and even who didn't apply to the Big Idea competition because they had situations with their kids at home and they weren't able to experience the same student experience that others did that don't have kids. So there's a lot of single moms and single parents on campus in general who have talked about how they wish that there was still a childcare facility on campus. And I think that that would be really beneficial, even if we just had some grants that were paid directly to childcare facilities for these moms who don't have a place for their kids to stay while they're in school. But most of all, I think it's important that we talk about representation. I'm very happy that I get to live in my UW Parkside biology department bubble with mostly women professors, but I know that my experience is not representative of everyone's. My sister majors in chemistry at UW-Madison and has not had a single woman professor in her upper-level chem classes, and a friend of mine graduated with a science-related degree from UW-Milwaukee and only had one female professor in her upper-level classes. I don't find this acceptable, and I think that we need to be getting to girls younger. We need more female doctors and nurses and researchers going to elementary schools and middle schools, talking about how it's possible and proving that it's possible and talking about their experience as women in science. I think it's extremely important that young people know that there are places where they are taken seriously. At UW Parkside, it does not matter if you're male or female or anything else for that matter. What matters is that you're passionate and knowledgeable about what you're doing. Science is hard, research is frustrating, and being an entrepreneur is a roller coaster, but it is so important to know that studying hard and making yourself known will open doors that you never imagined. Like I said, I just applied to vet school last month, and no one gets into vet school, not the first time at least. And when I don't get in, I'll retake some classes to get my GPA up, and I'll try again, and I'll keep trying until I can put DVM behind my name, because that's what you do when you've chosen science. You struggle, and you fail, and your experiments fail, and your solution grows mold if you distill it into plastic, but then the next day you own a company. And you do that, you do all of those things, knowing someone like you has done it before you, leaving no indication that you can't do it too.
Hello, my name is Tracy Lee. I'm a professor at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. I'm subbing in for Dr. Gregory Richards, who is the research advisor for Bianca Ruffalo, who I'm introducing today. I just wanted to give a few pieces of information about the molecular biology programs, which I'm the chair of that molecular biology programs committee. And just to give you an idea of some of the ways that the molecular biology programs help students have success. Bianca is an extraordinary example, but beyond that anecdotal evidence, I want to give other information. One of the really big things that allow for student success is their ability to do research with a professor, and we actually require that as part of the major. They have to commit at least one full academic year of research with a research faculty member and do molecular biology research. research. And this is very important. When students graduate and they're looking for a job, what is really needed is work experience, and no class is going to take a substitute of taking ownership of your own research project. And I think that has helped many students, including Bianca, to get into internships and jobs that they wanted. As an example, if we look at graduates from the molecular biology program for the last 6 years, 94 of those graduates are gainfully employed in the area that they want to be in. It all boils down to the letter of recommendation that the faculty that are working closely with these students can give those students and give employers. And that has helped Bianca also. One of the other things that we do at Parkside is we have a collaboration with Jeffrey Medine, who is an alumnus from Parkside, and he is currently at the Medical College of Wisconsin doing really amazing translational research in the area of gene therapy. And each year, he takes in 2 undergraduate students into his lab from Parkside. We screen through them, and almost always, we have molecular biology and bioinformatics students being sent each summer to him because of their research experience and that what that brings to the table. So I'll let Bianca talk about her personal experiences. I just wanted to give those kind of stats. We just recently have been certified by the American Society for Biochemistry and Molecular Biology. We just had our certification exam from the last year results come back, and those are much higher than the national average for other ASVMB accredited institutions. So that also speaks to the success of Parkside students.
Hi, I'm Bianca Ruffalo. I'm a molecular biology and bioinformatics major here at Parkside, and my career goal is an MD-PhD, which is a medical science training program where you become a medical doctor and a PhD doctor, so the hope is to do medical-related research. It's one of the most competitive programs in the entire country. For example, this program I'm applying to now, there's about 64 applicants invited to interview, and there's only about 9 spots. So I think Parkside has been uniquely suited to help me along with those career goals, especially because I came to Parkside as a first-generation student. Before I came here, I didn't even know what an undergrad was. So during the application process, it asked me if I wanted to be an undergraduate or a graduate. And I called my mom, and I was like, Mom, what's an undergraduate? And she said, I have no idea. So I had to Google it, but I figured it out. And there's a couple reasons that I think Parkside is amazing for this kind of research, especially as a first-generation student. The first is that it's a very collaborative environment, and a lot of schools a lot of times get very competitive, especially in the pre-med. And, you know, that's just the nature of the whole getting into medicine thing, because it kind of fosters competition since it's so competitive. But Parkside, I think, has a unique atmosphere, and that we kind of all are in this together. I think it really shows in how high our acceptance rate to med school is, that we have that mentality. The second thing is that it has a lot of opportunities to do research here. I've had 3 distinct research opportunities that I think have grown my skills to a point where I become competitive worldwide. So the first one was, it's called the RUSH program, the Rural and Urban Scholars in Community Health. It's in the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. I did a project where I tested immunotherapy projects by this tumor matrix protein in neuroblastoma cell line. I measured the response of the immune system in response to this small molecule. That was my first real taste of research and cancer bio, and I think I really love cancer bio, and I would love to do that in the future. And then my second opportunity was through the SPUR program that Dr. Lee previously talked about. I did a project on, they're called CAR T-cells, chimeric antigen receptor T-cells. They're basically this molecule that you can stick on T-cells so that they can recognize specific tumors and attack them. My time at Parkside has allowed me to do those research projects because one of the reasons that I was selected for them was my previous research done in the lab of Dr. Greg Richards. His project was about the response of E. coli to glucose phosphate stress, which is basically when they have too much sugar in their environment, they get stressed out and they grow suboptimally. So we're working on the mechanisms behind that on a molecular level. So I think those geared me to excel in those projects away from the school. Another thing I want to talk about with Parkside is the fact that we have so much women role models in places of power. Especially we have a woman director of the Student Center, Stephanie Saravaco-Marshall. She's been especially influential for me. And we have a female chancellor, which is incredible. Dr. Deborah Ford is an amazing role model to all of us. There's also female heads of departments. Dr. Lee is an incredible role model, and I think that it really sets the stage for inclusive science where it's not just an all-boys club. Lastly, the diversity has made my experience at Parkside so much better and I've learned so much from everyone, and it's really an environment where each of us feel like we have a say in things and a chance to excel, where I know in other places they might not have that. And I think it's made me a better person and a more empathetic future doctor, and I couldn't be more grateful.
Thank you for listening to this very special edition of Parkside Today. To hear this and past episodes, visit uwp.edu/parksidetoday.